Let's go to the Dudemaker hotline here and say hello to dear old friend, the author of The Marian Option, the author of The Anti-Mary, and very soon the author of Theology of Home, Finding the Eternal in Everyday Life, the one and only Miss Carrie Gress, who has returned here on a Monday, the day after. I asked Carrie today, it is the day after the Feast of the Nativity of Our Lady. Miss Gress, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm well. I'm well.
Good. Good.
My day is always better, though, when I get to talk to you.
Oh, aren't you sweet? Well, it's always a delight for me, too. So thank you.
First, I hope you have your pen and your notepad ready.
I'm ready to take notes.
I have a zinger
always
for you.
Good.
I looked this up yesterday, and I don't know why. I guess our lady kind of inspired me a little bit. She said, she whispered in my ear, look up the name Mary and see how popular it is today and see how popular it was as far back as you can find, Mike. So I did.
Mm-hmm.
So Mary is 126 today in the United States of all live births.
Mm-hmm.
In 1880, the first year that we have records for, she was number one.
Yeah.
The name Mary was number one for every single year, save for 1 year during World War II, all the way up until the Revolution in 1962 was the last year that 1961 was the last year that she was the number one name, and it wasn't even close, Carrie. It was in her heyday. It was 7.8% of all live births. Female live births were named Mary. The next the next name down, I think it was Betty, I want to say, like 1.5%, but not even close. And then today, number 126. It tells you a lot about the time in which we live, doesn't it, Miss?
No, truly, truly, especially in light of the fact that a lot of those births are Protestant births too. It's not just Catholics who are naming their children Mary too. So that's the amazing thing. It's just how popular it was, and like you said, the bottom just fell out in the 1960s. So fits with the model, that's for sure.
But you know what I forgot to do, though? I forgot to look up and see what name was number one.
Oh, yeah, I think it's changed a lot. I actually have looked at this, not recently, but, you know, it went to, like, Jennifer and Brittany, and, you know, it's definitely not been one consistent name, I think. So.
Now, I'll never forget reading when I first read The Marian Option, the first chapter of the book, which, folks, we still have autographed copies by Carrie in the Founders Trading Post at mikechurch.com/shop. Just the wonderful way in which you introduce the reader to the life of Mary of Nazareth. And I think you mentioned something about her name. This is the most popular name for girls in the history of the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, she's the most powerful woman in the world. I mean, it's just when you look at the details of her life and influence, nothing comes close to it.
No.
Nothing.
And then you mentioned, and this is still with us today, the artwork.
Yeah. No, that's an incredible piece when you look at just how much Marian artwork there is and just the theme of Our Lady and our work. That's another overwhelming piece. It's just, again, you can't argue with it. There, you know, nobody else compares.
No. So tell me about this new book that you have going about the theology of home. Now, because when people think theology, they're not thinking about home economics.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. So, yeah, no, this was an idea that came to me. Actually, I was on my treadmill of all places, and I was thinking about how, you know, basically all of our efforts are really to try and get home to be with God the Father. I mean, that's everything. Our whole goal in life is to do that for ourselves and for our children and our family and for others. And it just really struck me, too, just how important our homes are and how important they're becoming. I think there's obviously this resurgence in culture for, you know, HGTV and DIY TV channels and even Food Network and, you know, all these kinds of domestic pieces of our life. And yet, you know, the name homemaker is still really taboo. Like, no one wants to be called a homemaker. But if you do all the things that are involved in making a beautiful home, this is socially acceptable. And so I was really looking at that, you know, what is the tug in the human heart? And, I think in so many ways, really what God does with our homes is he makes them a foreshadowing of heaven. And this is really what I think people are longing for, even though they might not realize it. It's sort of this unwitting tug of the heart that I think is going on in the culture at this point. And so anyway, I really sort of tapped into that. You know, why is it that we love home and we love decorating our homes? I mean, we spend something like $450 billion annually on improving our homes.
Wow.
Yeah. And then contrast that with, you know, if you called somebody a homemaker, they would be really offended. So basically what the book is just a look at what it's almost apologetic for homemaking, although it doesn't use that language. It's actually a highly illustrated book. We have this fabulous photographer, Kim Bale from Los Angeles, do the photographs for this book. And we really wanted to just look at what it means to be a Catholic home and make that beautiful and make that come alive for people in a way that you obviously can't do without photographs. But it's almost sort of Catholicism on offense. You know, I've obviously written plenty of books defending the faith and you know, using polemics and a lot of challenging content. And so it was great to write this book that I feel like you could give this book to anybody and they would love it because there's so many just basic elements about the home. I mean, we go into the elements of homemaking, light, nourishment, comfort, safety. And it's kind of a meditation on all of these ideas. But again, in a way that people, I think, are incredibly receptive to and appreciate and just feel like they're going to look at families and they're going to look at home. And they're going to look at God in relationship to their home in a very different way than before they started the book. So I've been amazed at who's reached out to me. Just even, you know, I've shown pictures of the book and the link to it on Amazon. It's coming out the 24th of this month. At who's responding to it. I mean, they're not the usual suspects of my friends and family who are excited about it, but it's much broader than that. And so that's what's fun about this project.
You got an endorsement from Ann Coulter, didn't you?
That was for the Mary, Anti-Mary.
Anti-Mary, yeah. Anti-Mary.
Yeah. Yeah, which that was definitely beyond the scope. I was not expecting that at all. So, yeah, I was really happy she liked the book.
I've interviewed Ann a couple of times. I never actually met her. You don't see her on, she's not on Roger Ailes' network anymore. She's not on Fox. I can't tell you the last time I've seen Ann Coulter on television.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That's because she's gone rogue.
She has. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, Anne has got her own drummer, that's for sure. So, yeah.
Well, one of the turns that she made, and I'm very heartened that she reached out to you. One of the turns that she made, and this is a 180-degree departure from old-school Ann Coulter, is all of a sudden she started to consider all these wars that she had advocated for. And the American this big muscular, we never met an unjust war that we wouldn't want to go and fight. Foreign policy that so many Republicans still today advocate for. You know, Coulter was right there and was a fanboy cheerleader. She's not anymore. And that was the most, to me, that was the most stunning departure that she made. And when she made that move, believe me, sister, I know, because when I made the move, you fall out of favor quickly with some very influential and important people. I actually thought when she started that turn, I said, I wonder if Anne is converting. I haven't seen that she has, but...
No, I don't think that she has yet. I think it sounds like there's some complicating factors in her life, Protestant mother and those kinds of things. But she's got some good, really close friends who are working on her. So anyway, we might see a closer conversion yet.
Well, she's got the right name. I mean, she's named after the mother of Mary. So
right.
So we're all good there. Carrie Gress is visiting with me here. Did you know that the name Carrie, you can write this one down. If you go to that website where I found the rankings for the names, one of the derivatives of Mary is, guess, drum roll, Carrie.
Is it really?
Yes.
I had no idea.
Neither did I.
Charles, the derivative of Charles.
Well, you know, maybe it's a combination. I don't know. I mean, the website is quoting information from the Social Security Administration. So, as far as reliability goes, I don't know.
I'll have to do some research.
But now, the way you were describing the new book, though, it sounds to me like Southern Homes and Living for Catholics.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot of it, but there's some real meat in it too. We didn't want it to be just fluffy, and there's definitely some theological content that I think people will really be edified by. But yeah, it's a beautiful book. I mean, it was really fun to shoot. We shot houses in Southern California. We shot some beautiful old stone houses outside of Philadelphia, from the early 1900s, and we have a beautiful mission church. The one in Santa Barbara is featured in it. So. Anyway, yeah, it was fun because it was all these pictures that you're not really supposed to see in women's content. You know, we have pictures of babies and pregnant women and dads with their children and, you know, religious art displayed in a way that's actually devotional and not just trendy. And it was really fun to see this come alive because there really isn't anything like it, I think, for Catholic women at this point. And I think we always feel sort of marginalized. Like, you know, we love these design books, but we don't feel like we're really included in them or we can just sort of take bits and pieces of them. But, you know, the whole of the culture has become so inimical to the Catholic faith that you almost feel, you know, like you're just not part of the conversation in a regular way. And so we wanted to sort of shift it. How do we shift this back to something that's deeper? And I've talked to different people in the design community because we actually reached out to Nathan Bond, who is a new convert to the Catholic faith. He and his wife Anna Bond started Rifle Paper, which their paper goods are all over the country. They're really fun and beautiful. And so anyway, it was interesting to see how, you know, how do we get beyond even just Catholics and in light of the fact that, you know, the Catholic Church has been creating art for 2,000 years. We have all these beautiful designs and ideas and different ways the faith has been expressed. And yet, we're not really tapping into them in a deep way when it comes to making products or decorating our homes necessarily. So it was one of those things where I got to thinking about how do we get beyond this? How do we make our Catholic faith, you know, relevant again, not just even among Catholics, but in the design community and beyond. And certain people have told me, too, that kind of the trend of just seeing a house you know, converted from 1970s glory to, you know, something more contemporary. People are getting tired of that. You know, they want something deeper and want to go deeper into it. And so I feel like we're really kind of on trend, unwittingly, by going it deeper, by helping people look at their homes in a new way and seeing them as sanctuaries, which, of course, that word comes from the word holy. To begin with, and to see them as a foretaste. How do we get them to be a foretaste of heaven instead of a foretaste of hell, which obviously a lot of people experience for so many different reasons. So, yeah, it's been a really fun, very different project from...
I can tell you're excited about it.
I am.
I don't think I've ever heard you this excited, as a matter of fact.
Maybe it was just too much coffee, but I'm excited to see what comes from it.
Well, now, Carrie Gress, the author of this new book that's coming up called The Theology of the Home. I'm just looking at, we have some of the pictures. You can get some of the previews from your publisher and also at Amazon. We, of course, would love to have you, Jane Hancock, some copies for us to have available in the store. But there's something that you said just a moment ago, madam, that really drew my, I even wrote it down. You said go on the offensive.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is a positively radical thing for Catholic women to be saying in 2000.
Right.
And
it is.
Yes, because when you think going on the offensive, that means I'm going to go to a pro-life rally, I'm going to find a microphone, and I'm going to scream at women that don't agree with me. That's that's about as radical as going on the offensive as you find. But I concur with you that it is necessary to go on the offensive. You know what? I'm trying to remember who it was, but I was listening to a talk the other 2-3 weeks ago, and whoever the priest was that was giving it quoted a saint, and the quote just stuck in my mind that if you want to become a saint, then do things every day in your life that you think you'll be doing in heaven. I went, wow, I never thought of it like that. So if you wouldn't be doing it in heaven with God and Our Lady watching you, then you probably shouldn't do it here.
Right.
And beautifying the home with the things, with making the home a place of beauty, a transcendent beauty especially, seems to me to be one of those things that you would probably be able to do if there are such things as we conceive of them as homes in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and I think that's what's so interesting is, you know, we've been looking at these culture wars for 50 years now. And, you know, a lot of the things that I feel like I'm arguing and other people are arguing within the Catholic Church is it's a big stretch for people because psychologically they've taken on this ideology that I call the control of the matriarchy. And these women have controlled just basically the way that we think about things. And so it's a big intellectual step for somebody to read my book, you know, The Anti-Mary, and feel like I've convinced them. I mean, it's certainly happening, but there's a lot of stages, I think it can't just be my book. There have to be other things, other graces working in the person's life too, for them to come to full realization that there's something to this book that's correct. But if you start talking about someone's home where they already are. They have a connection to it. They already understand that it's something that's already sort of in the fibers of who they are as a person. And you connect that with God and with heart, you already have an in that's much easier to work with
that's right.
than, you know, making this intellectual argument, especially because we're post-rational age. Everybody's operating off of emotions and feelings. And so how do we work with what's there? And I think that's been a fundamental question that I've been asking for a long time, is how do we reach women who aren't necessarily even formed in such a way that they can understand our arguments because they have such a, you know, they've been so, they have this wall up because, you know, all these celebrities agree with them. Everybody they know agrees with them
right.
on these topics. So
sure.
How do you crack into that? And so this is sort of almost like the Death Star approach. You know, you just got to find that one small area, that one small weakness that they get and they understand. And then you start building from there instead of, you know, trying to do a much larger intellectual enterprise. So anyway, it's like I said, I've just been amazed at who has responded to it. People from all kinds of stripes of life who, you know, would think immediately would hate anything that I publish. And yet they're really gravitating towards it. So, yeah, I think there's something to it. It's instead of just grabbing the microphone and, you know, screaming in a protest, how do we be more clever about this and engage women in a different way? And, you know, I always keep coming back to this idea that, you know, there's nothing that has been better for women in the history of the world than the Catholic Church.
Nope.
And we don't hear that. We don't know that. We're not getting that from other women. And I think that's one of the things that as a Catholic woman, it's very easy to feel that you have to be defensive about it instead of feeling like, no, these are, I have all the things that other women want. I have an amazing family. I have a loving husband. I have a deep faith. You know, I don't have incredible material trappings. And in fact, people have asked me if the homes in the book are mine, and not a single picture is of my own home. but I have peace and I have joy and I have all these amazing things that I think women are really searching for, and we're not providing them a way to get back to that. And so that's you know, one of the reasons why I'm so excited about this, because I feel like we're helping them get back to those basic principles, but without having to do it in a way that's, you know, uproots them radically, but just gently helps them understand something they already get.
Well you know, Carrie, this radical revolt that we're living at the end of, you said post-reason, post-ration, post-ration sicula, an age mm-hmm. after reason is what that means.
Yeah.
We truly live in an age after reason. Unfortunately, vast majorities of our fellow Catholics live and are steeped in post-ration sicula, in an age mm-hmm. after reason. And I think that the very simple things crack that, I, like you just said, you just cracked the nut. The very simple things that are relatable, the good, the true, and the beautiful, are always programmed into the human intellect. You can always go back to them, and you don't have to explain. My favorite quote from my mentor, Brother Francis, is, "No one goes to the Matterhorn and looks up at the Matterhorn and says, oh, look, it's cute." You
That's great. Yeah.
You right. know beauty. No, beauty.
Awe-inspiring. Right.
Right.
Right. Well, and I think that's one of the things that we also have as Catholic families are, you know, it's incredible when you invite somebody into your home to witness your family. And I think a lot of us feel like, oh, it's just going to be chaos and mayhem. And yet someone who doesn't have that experience of having children and bringing them up with a faith and saying your prayers before dinner and just the dynamic that goes on with the distribution of work and the sharing and the care that goes into both the meal but also into just raising those children. I think, you know, we have an incredible opportunity even with basic things like hospitality that we're not really paying attention to, again, because we feel like, well, maybe I don't have the perfect home or, you know, all those things. And yet these interior things that we've been practicing for years, I think really shine forth and people grasp them. So, you know, one of my favorite lines in the book is, you can't always get somebody to church, but you can always get them to your dinner table. And there are those things that happen at that dinner table that I think we just take for granted and we don't recognize as really being edifying and helpful to an outsider to really see that there is a way to live differently and that it's something that is graspable instead of, you know, just in a picture or even, you know, beyond their reach.
Well, I think that you're becoming radicalized by your closeness to the Mother of the Redeemer. I mean, you start writing articles with the title of "The Subtle Lie: Women Must Be Powerful But Not Fruitful," and you start telling women that happiness is in maternity. And they that's not where you find happiness. That's, happiness is found in business suits with shoulder pads, Miss Gress. You don't know what you're talking about.
Nagging, lots of nagging really will make people happy.
I think from a personal point of view, and unfortunately we're just about out of time, but when the book comes out, will you come back and visit with me?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But just from a personal point of view, you know what's really beautified my home in the last 6 years? Mary.
Mm-hmm.
We got Mary everywhere. We got Our Lady of Perpetual Help. We got Our Lady of Seven Sorrows. We have the other spectrum. We have Our Lady of Fatima. We have Our Lady of Shestahoa. We have Our Lady mm-hmm. of Lajosk. We have we have Mary everywhere.
Right, yeah. I'm sitting in a room, I think, where I've got easily two statues, one painting, one icon. Yeah, she's everywhere. And she's beautiful, and she's edifying. Yeah, it makes a huge difference, I think, in our home.
Now, my daughters are both. Neither one of them made it to confirmation, and that's on me. But I never pass an opportunity up. Never. It doesn't matter what it is. To sneak in, and well, you could say a Hail Mary, or because they'll call me and ask me, Dad, such and such mother died, or whatever. Can you pray? I'm like, you could pray too. Hail Mary, full of grace, dot, 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 in the message.
Mm-hmm.
I never miss an opportunity to just kind of sneak it in. And anytime they come to the house, they know they're going to get an eyeful of Mary.
Right. Well, and I think that's the thing, though, even just looking at your own life. I mean, you're putting the weight on yourself as far as their confirmation. But look at the culture. I mean, there is nothing that young girls are getting that is saying there's a different way to live than being pro-abortion and being focused on your career and putting all the, you know, putting me above anything else in my life. And I think that's the real tragedy is we haven't done a good job of putting up anything against that. I mean, this has been the same exact argument these women have been making since the 1960s. And we haven't found a single argument to either demolish theirs or to even just start crumbling it or to find an alternative voice out there that's saying there's a different way to live. So I have incredible sympathy for families, especially when their daughters have fallen away, because look at what they are up against. They're up against the whole edifice of the culture, whether it's
September 24th.
So, you can pre-order it already, but September 24th.
We shall pre-order it and get some copies shipped over to Gress International today.
Great.
I will just leave you with this, because you are really out there fighting the fight. And that's probably why you and I met and crossed paths and have been allowing paths to cross for 5 years now. John Horvat wrote of the book that I edited and put back into print, Humility of Heart. He wrote a review of it, John Horvat, Return to Order fame. John loves the book. And John wrote of the book and goes, Ms. Church has done a signal service in putting this book back into print, modernizing it, and then translating the remainder of the text. If there was any justice among American readers, this would be the number one perennially on the New York Times bestseller list. But because there is no justice, and the country is filled with unjust people, that's not going to happen. Well, your books would also be The Marian Ops and Anti-Marian, if there's any justice out there among female readers, instead of Shades of Gray, we'd be talking about Shades of Gress would be number one. So take that as a compliment, I guess.
Thank you. Yes, very heartening.
All right.
Can't take it to the bank, but my riches are in heaven. So.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You're making a deposit for the long term.
Long-term investment, exactly.
That's right.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
She is Carrie Gresson, of course, her books, The Anti-Mary, The Marian Option, and The Marian Option for Children, available in our bookstore at MikeChurch.com/shop, and The Theology of Home, coming in just a couple weeks. All right. Thank you very much, as always, for your time and for your various and in sundry apostolates.
Well, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on your show, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. We'll talk soon. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. A deposit for the long term
investment, exactly.
That's right.
Absolutely.
She is Carrie Gresson, of course, her books, The Anti-Mary, The Marian Option, and The Marian Option for Children, available in our bookstore at MikeChurch.com/shop, and The Theology of Home, coming in just a couple weeks. All right. Thank you very much, as always, for your time and for your various and in sundry apostolates.
Well, thank you. Always a pleasure to be on your show, Mike.
All right. Thanks, Carrie. We'll talk soon. God bless.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right.